Yo, what's good? I'm Filter Love People. It's your guy, Calistus, because I listen from heaven to earth to me to you and settle it all in love. I'm the Freedom Coach, but I got special guests today, yo. And I ain't gonna even do my whole little intro and stuff until they finally, after, I think I invited this nigga, I don't know how many times. I know y'all hear me say this a lot. And this is actually will be the first interview of the season. Dang, we still gonna do a video version just because I do want to do a video version of this conversation, so y'all will hear this same stuff again. Maybe our minds have changed by the time they come out. Maybe we'll be the same. Either way, you'll learn something. I'm watching the Cowboys game as we speak. I finally got to come to LA, see my family and all that. Anyway, go ahead and introduce yourself, because if I introduce this guy, I'm going to have like a 10-minute monologue of how great of a human this person is. You know, it's like one of my favorite people on this planet. I only have a few favorite people on this planet, but this is like legit my top two favorite person on this planet. Y'all might not understand that. But anyway, introduce yourself. Let's go.
I love you, man. I do. It's your boy, Kariga. You know, I got a podcast starting called Underlying Perceptions. You know, I'm just blessed to be here with Unfiltered Love, you know what I'm saying? And, once again, you know, we've been meaning to have this discussion on these topics for the longest. And the thing is that we share a similar mindset. Same bloodline, similar mindset.
Same bloodline. If y'all know, that's my cousin. So y'all see me post him a lot. Y'all see me put a lot of stuff up.
Let's get it.
So, you know, you'll probably see this great, like, who is this guy? But that's this man right here.
Thank you, bro.
So, welcome to the show. We just going to have a candid conversation. We're going to let y'all in on it and do what we do. Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love People? It's your guy, Calistus, because I listen from heaven to earth to me to you and settle it all in love. I am the Freedom Coach, and you're now listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. So, yeah, we are back. If you don't know, like I said, Kariga is my cousin, man. Like, probably my favorite cousin, but shit, don't tell nobody else that. And the rest of y'all niggas listening, you still my favorite too. You just my favorite in a different way, and I might not love you as much, but I still love you though. But anyway, so because I know some of y'all actually listen, but y'all know I still love y'all. We family. I mean, we all one. What? All right. So look, Kariga, tell the people about you. Tell them what you do. This man does not promote himself enough, but I'm always gonna write a message if I see something. I'll be like, you know, I'm feeling this right now. So he get all these like probably long sentimental messages from me, and I'll be like, this nigga probably be like, this nigga so gay. Like he is writing, he writes me the long, like who writes? This nigga just wrote me a love letter. My whole cousin though. But anyway,
yeah, man. My name is Kariga. I am on a journey to be a mental health therapist. You know what I'm saying?
Welcome to the field.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's been a long field. I'm retiring out after 11 years.
I don't think I would ever retire, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to still be a therapist. I'm a therapist at heart. But after 11 years, when it comes to the field, I'm bowing out and going into the business sector, the business side of what we do. Because policies still need to be written by people who've actually done the jobs.
Exactly.
But we'll talk about all that. But anyway,
that's actually real talk, because you know we do need to know the industrial side of the psychology too, which plays in a lot of consumerism and all that stuff like that. But yeah, bro, like I embrace this journey for real. Being able to learn more about myself in the process, being able to endure patience, because it was definitely something I didn't have as a strength, and working with people in like mental health with that. Different illnesses and disabilities, man. It taught me a lot about patience. And I can say that's one thing that I've really been blessed to learn about is patience through mental health.
So let me ask you a question. When you say patience through mental health, that is something that when I'm teaching like mental health CPR or mental health first aid for people who don't really know what that is, that's I literally teach CPR to mental health patients. So that is, if you were to think of, you know, CPR as ha, 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 stand alive, you got compressions and you have breaths. You could think of as the breaths as me, the human, going in and talking to them. You could think of the interventions as being the compressions. Yeah. And so you'll go in and you do that kind of CPR with people. And I love it. And so when we're talking about that, we're talking about the CPR. What do you feel, or even if we're talking about, you know, like I said, if we're talking about like first aid, mental health first aid, just de-escalating situations and letting people know, hey, I'm here with you. Yeah. I got this with you. So what do you think would be one of the pinnacle things that you, because you're working in the field and you're kind of outside working in, but what do you think would be one of the things that a policy, something that actually can be written and tangible, could be done and should be done like immediately from just the people you've worked with? Like, what do they need the most right now?
Boundaries. I feel like we need boundaries. And if, and I'm not talking from professional to client, just only that, because that's already set in stone in the code of ethics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about professional boundaries and having that incorporated in policy, which tends to get overlooked a lot.
Mm.
And I feel like with boundaries, the issue is that there is something that is not taken seriously based on one's perception on what is inappropriate or what is appropriate according to their own personal boundaries, but not to the other. I feel that gets overlooked a lot in professions, and I feel that needs to be there.
So, just to clarify,
yes,
you're saying boundaries should be kind of how we govern ethics. We should be governing boundaries
all day.
And so you're saying not even the boundaries with the clients, but boundaries within the inner workings of where you are, the staff itself.
Yes, I am saying
that. Ooh, that is like, you know, that's one of those things that I think when we're just looking at the big picture, mm-hmm. and you'd be like, oh shit. And if y'all don't know, y'all listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. So you may hear some shit, some damn, some fucks. Because, you know, go buy the Fuck People merch right at kelizon.com. That's KELZLISON.com. Because yeah, shit, fuck right. people.
Yeah.
And if y'all don't know, Fuck People has a guide coming out really, really soon. Because, you know, 2022 about to be different. And let me tell you these underlying perceptions.
Let's go. Come on.
Y'all are going to want to listen to this podcast. Yeah. I actually listened to 3 of the episodes. I think it's 6 total.
Yes, sir.
And so I've listened to 3, and all 3 of the episodes that I've listened to have been completely awesome, completely wonderful. So, you know, to have Kariga here with me is one of those things like, oh, and when we're talking about policies, and he's bringing up this thing about policies within the inner workings of life. And you guys know I believe in outreach, but y'all know my whole teaching and everything I do. When I come to your businesses, when you see me on the camera, when you hear the thing, it's all about inner reach. Because we outreach so much that we forget to inner reach. And businesses do the same thing. When I'm able to go do emotional intelligence for business and I'm able to tell them, you know, their strategies and what they're not doing, one thing is I always go, you guys don't inner reach.
Come on. That's true. You're outreaching. Come on.
What about your corporate? Yeah. The people who are your staff, the people who are your people, what is that?
Yeah.
You know? So, boom. We're going to be back with y'all in just a few seconds. Y'all listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. We got Kariga here. Make sure y'all go tune in to Underlying Perception. I don't care what podcast site you're using it on. Ask Siri, ask Google, ask Alexa to play Underlying Perception. Okay? What you got, Kariga? You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio. We'll be right back. We're back. We are back. My Cowboys, I don't know what they're doing right now. I told you guys I'm watching the game. So y'all know I'm going to have to produce this one real quick, because the season ain't gonna last that long. Y'all know I'll be lacking a producer, but this episode's gonna come out quick. So, Kariga, a conversation that we're supposed to have, man, since the inception of Clubhouse. So what's that been, about a year, a few months?
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
So, generational curses.
Let's talk about it.
Whew.
Come on.
A lot of people talk about their generational curses, and they're going to break the generational curse of poverty, break the generational curse of sin, whatever, break the generational curse. I got to break the curse.
Yeah.
Because I'm the first one in my family, too. Mm. However, along with breaking a curse, it comes the realization of what we call in the field self-actualization, right? Yeah. Once you have self-actualization, you can have community actualization, so forth and so on, and blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
But in the midst of all of that, people talk about generational curses, but they don't talk about bad decisions.
Let's talk about it.
So when is it a generational curse, and when is it a bad decision to you?
What is a generational curse?
Or when? Like, when okay. when is something... Well, yeah, define what you think a generational curse okay. is, and then define what's the differentiating factors of, okay, this is a generational curse, but this was just a bad decision you made.
Right. I think a generational curse is the enslaved mentality that you can't reach a certain milestone because, I would say, historical events or past traumatic historical events. And the reason why I say this is because we as people are in a time and period where we are advancing with technology. And like I said earlier, we have the freedoms that our ancestors didn't have today. And we have to give our thanks to them for that. It's the fact that we feel that everybody outside of black people, outside of us, we need their validation rather than looking within ourselves first. And that can also be another topic. But the reason why I say that with emphasis is because we seek this approval and this validation from everybody. We need it from white people. We need it from Hispanics. We need it from, you know, Asians. We need it from everybody but the black people.
Let's go! Hey, I watched this Cowboy game, and that boy Zeke just did what he supposed to. Hell yeah, man.
I'm telling you, I hope he don't get that touchdown right now.
Hey, you such a hater. You know, the Eagles won today. Yeah, he's an Eagles fan. Yeah, I mean, it took them 56 years to get a ring. It took them 56 years to get a ring, and we're going to go back to the topic. But they actually played today like they grew a pair. Right? They had some cojones.
Come on.
But, I mean, they were also not playing a team that was worthy, but, you know.
In the NFL, you worthy to me.
They did hold them to zero for a long time.
True.
And I was surprised. I was like, oh, the Eagles decided they want to play today. So we're talking about generational curses, and we're talking about bad decisions.
Exactly. And that's where it all goes down to, is us seeking too much approval and validation that we don't take accountability or let alone support each other.
So do you feel like people make it a cop-out to say that they're breaking a generational curse when they just don't want to break their bad habits?
Yes. It's exactly what it is. Like, let's say you're going to school and you don't want to go to school. This is not the degree you wanted in your life.
And then you don't finish.
You don't finish. But let's just say you do.
Did you break that
generational curse?
Exactly. Because that was...
This is some internal reach that you need to be...
Yes.
Oh, they gave him a touchdown, y'all.
That boy caught that thing. You know what I mean?
Cooper caught it.
Now Amari caught that thing.
Come on.
Amari caught that thing, boy.
I see that.
Look at Jerry. Look at Dak. Dak said, you did what I told you, Amari. So when we're talking generational curses, and you just said, you brought up something real good. You said something to the effects of responsibility.
Yeah, for real.
When does that responsibility become a thing?
I think accountability will always need to be a thing, right? Because at the end of the day.
Not accountability, responsibility.
Okay. What you mean in responsibility?
So you said they're the first ones to go, and they did it, but they did it with no good intent, right? Or no intent at all.
Right, right, right.
And so they finished the degree, they got it. Did they break the curse or not?
Right.
So
necessarily, I say they did it.
And where does that responsibility part come in, where you decide that, you know what, I ain't really doing shit that I didn't intend to do this, or this is not my mission or my goal, I'm unhappy.
I'm going to be honest with you. It all pertains to a trauma thing. I'm going to say this, why? Because... generational curses is based off of a traumatic response, a traumatic event. When we say it's a curse, it has to be something very traumatic for you to call it a curse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that we assume by us trying to fight our own traumas by doing so much or maximizing on all these traumas, minimizing our actual mental health prioritization, then we end up thinking that we have to break the curse this way. And then what happens when you complete school? What happens when you become a doctor? What happens when you own those five businesses? What happens when you got that 40 acres in a mule? Did you break the curse, or did you try to mask your trauma experience to something?
All because your intent was never to break the curse.
Exactly.
Your intent was to I'm doing this because this is what I'm supposed to do.
I'm minimizing my depression, my anxiety by maximizing.
And so things. And so then that brings the question to, is the curse ever broken?
Okay, so can I speak on that? Epigenetics, y'all. E-P-I genetics. One word. Epi means upon. It's Greek. Yeah, if you don't know how to spell genetics, it's
I'm just mad. Hey, yo, don't be playing my goddamn audience. Wait, hold on, bro. You're going to be playing my audience like that. I love you and all, but goddamn. You just go play the epi?
No, but no,
he did a Madea on us, for real.
If you know about it, I commend you. Let's discuss. But for those that don't know about it, let me talk about it.
Wait, give them a nice definition first.
I'm about to right now. Nice. Epi is Greek for upon genetics, okay? It's something that is on top, sequencing to the DNA. Epigenetics is something that travels to your child or to it just passes down generations. It's a genetic formation that passes down in generations, whether you got whipped, abused, or you ended up dealing with something traumatic, it end up passes on to your kids and your future generation. It goes up to 14 years, 15 years. So the reason why we put the term generational curses on there is because we deal with ancestral trauma that we have never truly experienced, but it manifests in our life presently in a different manner. So when we say we're going to break generational curses, we're really trying to minimize our trauma by maximizing out on other things to avoid facing our traumas, and that's where accountability comes in. So is the generational curse real? It could be. Epigenetics scientifically states in research that it could possibly last up to 14, 15 generations. It's a powerful term. And why you think nowadays we try to hold white people accountable for the things they do that seemed very harming to black people in the past? Do not let shit slide. Do not say the N-word with the hard ER. Don't give a fuck who you are. Straight up. Be mindful, be respectful, and understand the true history to your ancestry. And they try to cookie cut the history by trying to make the antagonist, which to them is a protagonist of what they did to us. And, you know, they try to hide what really happened in America. You know, at the end of the day, we know the truth, and it's time for people to be aware, and it's time for us to be aware and accountable within our own community, our own people as well.
You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio.
And with that, you already know we're going to be right back.
Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? You listen to your guy, Calissus.
I'm right here. I'm the freedom coach.
I got my guy, Kariga, in the building. We talking about generational curses and our bad decisions. And so he brought up epigenetics. And so when what we call it, what you may hear it as a lot is mind science, the science of the mind. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? If you go to one of my earlier podcasts, is think about what you're thinking about. And that's really what it comes down to. Is
educate me on that.
We have to think about what we're thinking about. So we, as mentioned, we have all this trauma that goes from generation to generation to generation. And it continues to grow, right? It continues to go. The more it, that's what I'm talking. That's a stop. That is a stop. When we're talking about what's going and what's growing, what we begin to understand is, why you weak? You weak because I can go in and out so quickly? I'm good at this, man. Look, my cousin over here, he died last week because I literally watched the game. Yeah. I was into the game and I came right back to what we
like.
Hey, I can have three conversations at one time. It's a gift from God. And my Cowboys just, what? So I'm going to go have to stop this in a second so I go post about my Cowboys winning. But we're talking about what we're thinking about and thinking about what we're thinking about. So our thoughts are their thoughts, right? And the conscious mind thinks that it's in control, but it's really the subconscious mind that's in control. And your subconscious doesn't know the reality from the fake. So your subconscious mind doesn't understand that. So because your subconscious mind doesn't know, it's whatever you're feeding your mind, whatever you're listening to constantly, whatever you're watching constantly, whatever you're thinking about constantly, that becomes your reality. So let's just keep it real basic. You thinking about a burger and you don't eat meat, quote unquote, you're a vegan like everybody goddamn else in the world. And so you don't eat meat all of a sudden and Beyond didn't have anything, but you're thinking of a burger, you're thinking of a burger, you're thinking of a burger. You're going to go manifest that burger. It may not be in that second that you think, but later on, within the next, I can say up to 24 months, that burger that you thought about will manifest. So if you're thinking about something negative, that shit will manifest too. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about something positive, that shit will manifest too. However, there's an interceptor that we don't talk about often, and the interceptor is fear. Uh-huh. It's the false reality appearing real, and a lot of people like to say that. But what happens is when that fear comes in, you may not manifest that burger, or you may manifest that burger, and one or two reactions are going to happen. You're going to enjoy it because you've been wanting this shit forever, or you're going to oppose it because societal norms have told you that that is not what you're supposed to do. Your mind has already tricked you to saying, I can't eat this burger because it's beef. I have to eat the plant-based version.
Right.
It goes the same way when you go into what church is. We assume that church was this building, and we were taught that when we go to church, we act a certain way, and we enter the Holy of Holies when we enter that building. And then as we come to learn and know that we are the church, we were always supposed to be the church, we are supposed to be the temple of God, blah, 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 blah. What happens is your temple is real, however you think you need crystals in order to empower it. And I know y'all about to be mad at me, my crystal family. Y'all know I love y'all. I have my crystals and I love them. But the reality is the crystals already live inside of you. So you holding them is just a fucking reminder that they're already inside of you. Everything you need concerning this life is already inside of you. Life and godliness is inside of you. So when we have our crystals and we recharge them on the full moon and we do all those things, those are just ritualistic things that's already inside of us. We don't need anything else. So when we're looking at the generational curse, don't forget to also look at the generational blessing. Because a lot of times you're focusing on the curse and the curse is manifesting because you're afraid of success. It's not because of that pivot of fear. It's because there's another pivot called success, and nobody wants to reach that because people going to look at you different. They're going to treat you different. They're going to act different around you. They're going to say, oh, we can't say certain things. They're going to forget you came from the same fucking hood they came from. You just got some letters behind your name or in front of your name or both. And so those things become the empirical moments where we have to be real calculated in how our matrix is being used, right? And that's just how it goes. And so when you're thinking about what you're thinking about, then you're watching what you're listening to. You're watching who you're talking to. You watch the actions that you do. And I mean, it becomes so down to the micro levels of levels that sometimes you forget about the macro level.
Yeah, it's true.
And so that what you thought you were breaking, that generational curse, you're not breaking the generational curse. You just possibly made a bad decision. And we'll get more into that in a few seconds. But when we're thinking about what we're thinking about, then we're manifesting what we are going to become. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It does make sense.
I know that was a lot to say a little, but...
Yeah. But then, like, we also got to think about this, too. A bad decision. What if, you know, a circumstance happened in a period of your life that you had no control of? Mm-hmm. So an example, I'm gonna be real, is rape. It's a prime example.
I was hoping you said that because That's one thing that I deal with a lot. And unfortunately, as a therapist and many therapists, and you know,
yes, sir,
in the field, we have to also ask them, what were your actions? What could you have done better in the situation? And that's one of the hardest questions to ask when you're, and I don't think we talk about this enough in the community because we treat molestation and rape and all these sexual assaults as something that's being kind of off limits to talk about in the public. But in behind closed doors, we ask those deep, hard questions.
Yeah.
We ask the questions, how did you contribute to your rape? We ask the question, what could you have done different? Could you have been somewhere else? Could you have, and then them having to deal with that reality and those of us who have been through like these situations, we start understanding that that's a still a reality that we still need to answer because at some point you feel guilty for what has happened to you.
And that's a true perception, you know, and, you know, it's a complex situation to have somebody really think deep as what they did was wrong. Because it could be a situation to where a woman is walking down the street to her house and a dude just comes up right behind mm-hmm. her.
Absolutely.
To be honest,
which has been a lot of the situation.
You can overthink the situation and say, oh, I shouldn't have went to the store. But that's not what was in your mind.
Or I shouldn't have went downstairs.
Yeah.
Because it was a close friend of the family.
Yeah.
Or it was a family member.
Could be a family member.
And I mean, so, I mean, right, but those are, but the reality is, whether you're the survivor or whether you're the predator, there were some preceding and acceding thoughts that went into that.
Yeah, I mean, there's the cliche term, right? It takes two to tango, right? We understand that life just happens. Like, you know, kids get killed in drive-bys. Yep. Like, can we ask a kid who got hit by a stray bullet, and that's on life alert or whatever the case may be, but we have a child that just got hit by a stray bullet, how are we going to have them say, what could they do differently?
And that's
a situation they had no control.
And that's
of.
One of the craziest things, because we still do ask that question.
Yeah, of course. And Seth, he's not lying. Look,
we ask that question all the time.
He's speaking the facts, and it's not that. Oh, we're not thinking about the person and the trauma they dealt with, but in assessments, and you're trying to get things solved, and in cases like this in the judicial system cycle,
you have to
ask these questions. Surprisingly, and if you work in this field, you would know that. Mm-hmm. If you work in this field, you would know that.
And you have to deal with it. I mean, the reality is, you, no matter what's happened to any of us, but no matter what we've
just,
all been through,
that's just paperwork, though. But outside of that, really, like,
you got to mentally deal
it's
with
different.
It. Because you have to wrestle with it.
The situation is too complex for a paper question to solve that shit.
And even sometimes you'll go off the record with a lot of clients because it's so much more than whatever. So some of the stuff is off the record. Some of the stuff is, this is where the confidentiality clause comes in. And this is where you get to say whatever you want to me, however you want to say it, and I understand where you're coming from. You listen to Unfiltered Love Radio.
Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? It's your guy, Kalissens. Okay, yeah.
I messed that up.
Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? You're listening to Unfiltered Love Radio. Stay tuned.
Like, I would never understand what rape is. So if I hear a joke about rape and I'm laughing, I'm like, ha ha. Then I gotta reflect and be like, what the fuck am I laughing at that for?
Right.
Like, that's, you know, even though it's
he don't know we back, but this
no,
is
this
a
is
good
cool. Let me talk about it. But like, Dickinson, humor, you know, people make all kinds of jokes. They make racist jokes, homophobic jokes. They make all these, you know, all these murder jokes. They make rape jokes. And then after a while, you're like, oh, it's just humor. It's just humor. But I had to reflect, like, you know what? There's truth behind that type of humor, too. Like you said, it goes back to the science of the mind, right? Mm-hmm. So there's some truth behind those. And the thing is that when you never have experienced rape, it's something that is, you can't just have a solution for a person to deal with that. That there's something they will never, ever get over. And I can honestly say that's understanding, because there'd be little things that I can't get over. Like, oh, I remember when I got my ass beat like this, you know? And I'm like past 21 years old talking right. about some shit that happened.
So,
but that brings in
the bad decision part of the thing, because sometimes you're acting as if it's a generational curse that you got raped. Your mama got raped, your grandma got raped, your granddaddy got raped, your uncles got raped. Everybody was raped around you, right? You know this information. You're privy to this. You kind of heard the conversation. Then it happens to you. But it didn't happen to you because it was a family member or somebody close to you. It happened to you because you was flirting with it.
Now, what if they weren't?
And that's where this is where our catch 22
you know
happens.
Saying? Because like I goes back to my out, example of the
and that's where I was. So the person who is the person who wanted it and the person who didn't want it. And then how can you justify?
No, I can't even say the person that truly. I can't even say the person wanted it.
Yeah, nobody ever. I don't think nobody ever wants pain.
Like you can flirt. Like look, I think you're able to flirt with boundaries. That's why I'm big on.
You can flirt as much as you fucking want to, unless you and don't touch nobody.
Yeah, you can flirt with boundaries. Right? So. If a woman is flirting with you, don't necessarily mean she want to have sex with you. But if this is what this man is thinking, then what you think that is? That's an impulsive form of thinking.
And just to break it real quick, it all comes down to fucking consent.
Yeah.
Get consent.
That's also
consent
and the ethics.
Get consent. I don't know how many times I can say this in my life. I say this so often. It is so a parent at this point in time. I don't care who you sleeping with. I don't care how you sleeping with them. Get fucking consent, please. Because consent is everything.
And communication. And communication.
Definitely communicate. And then guess what? Consent can change halfway through. I know that I just hurt some of y'all feelings. Yes, they could say, so the person can absolutely say yes and then say no while you're just now getting in. And guess what your ass needs to do? Stop.
Okay, now check this out. Stop. I agree with you 100%.
Definitely stop. I don't know why we're talking about this, but whoever needs to hear this right now, stop. Stop that shit.
If you about to have sex, and let's just say the man or the woman, you know, I'm going to say or because, yes, men get raped too.
A lot of, actually, it's, so a, I'm it's gonna actually 3.7% that they don't talk about, and that's only 3.7% that's reported.
Exactly. A lot of things go, like, not reported. You know what I'm saying? I know. So that's real talk. That's real talk, because if you're in a process of about to perform an intercourse or something like that, and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Respect the fact that that person don't want to do it anymore. All right? Whether you got blue balls, hold that. Try to control it. And if you are, like I said in the past, is prioritize your mental health. If you're able to process that and be aware of these things, you would know that. Stop.
Yeah.
Respect his or her boundaries in the process. No matter if you got into the process of taking all the clothes off and y'all laying in the same bed, if you don't want to go further than that, you have every right to stop that shit. 100%. And the person that has an issue with that is the problem.
I don't know how we got on the topic of rape.
Because
so obviously somebody needs to hear that shit.
Somebody need to hear it.
But when you're talking about curses,
exactly. Generational curses. And we're talking about
bad mistakes. You know, you know your intent. It goes back to when we're talking about, think about what you're thinking about. It goes back to epigenetics. What you think about, you produce. Good, bad, or indifferent. What you think about, you produce. Epigenetics, we talk about the trauma, we talk about that, but it really comes down to what was your thought process? Where was your mindset? Where was it going? How are we getting there? And so the things that you fear probably gonna happen to you.
Yep.
97% of the time. It's gonna happen because you fear it, so you're constantly thinking about it. You're constantly trying to find ways to avoid it. You find ways to not attract it. So then that's exactly what happens to you. And you're like, I became my worst fear.
So you know what? Can I talk about that too? So working in, like, I also have experience working with child trafficking and, you know, sex trafficking awareness. Mm-hmm. So there's this thing where, like, let's say, and you know, I'm going to be honest, it's the little girls that, you know, are gullible. They get kidnapped, they get raped, they get trained. That's what they call it. And then they're running the streets. And then they have a whole program that they follow unconsciously, you know?
Yep.
And so it's like the cognition didn't fully develop. But it's they're programmed to think this way. So let's just say she gets out of this whole sex trafficking thing or whatever. We're working with some of these clients, right? And the thing is that they go back to, they find boyfriends or they end up engaging and becoming wives to these men that they once feared or that manipulated them and programmed them, as I would call it to be a certain way that was outside of their element. And when I say outside of element, outside of being raised by their parents. And that's why I say a parental household is very...
But you want to know what the crazy thing about this is? You always have love for your first love.
Yes. So whether it's a dark situation, it's going to manifest. And it's not justifying anything. It's not justification
But that's how the mind works. That's the brain. And, you know, it's funny because, you know,
never tell these women to leave their abuser or find somebody there because you would never understand that and they will never come to that conclusion overnight.
And it takes time, but that's when we talk about mind.
And it goes back to fear too.
And it's the science of the mind.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the science of the mind, is think about what you're thinking about.
Yeah,
if you're thinking about you love this abusive situation, you're gonna love all aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you like it, not that you like what's going on, but it's like this outweighs. This is everything I kind of wanted, and so you know we start going into that. Look, y'all know what y'all listening to.
Tap it in.
Yo, what's good, Unfiltered Love people? Let's see your guy can listen. You know what it is, Unfiltered Love Radio.
So look, Cuzzo just asked me a question. What'd you say?
All right, so the question that I got for you. Do you think
fear... Now this nigga gonna come to my goddamn podcast to interview me.
Hey.
Now y'all know.
Great discussion.
Y'all nigga don't get to come and ask me, let me ask you a question. No, you don't see Al Roker over there telling Ollie, it's gonna rain.
Oh man, you can always learn. Look, check this out. Wow, do you think fear and pain is synonymous?
I think that there's aspects of pain that cause fear. Okay. And I think there's aspects of fear that encourage pain, right? So when I say that, is it may be something that you've never been afraid of. Say you've never even heard of the boogeyman.
Right.
You've never heard of the boogeyman. So you ain't afraid of that nigga. You don't know him. You don't care what it is. But then everybody keeps telling you, the boogeyman is really scary. The boogeyman is really scary. It's almost like when we go from being a kid to an adult. When you're a kid, and they tell you to go say your ABCs in front of the classrooms. You, ABC, you don't even know all the letters, but you're screaming them out loud because that's what all your peers around you were doing. And so you kind of was that. And you, or you may have been the kid who didn't really say it, kind of been the standoffish kid, right? But you still participated because you understood that there was a structure that needed participation points. Okay. Pain and fear is the same way. There's a structure that one causes the other and that helps aid the other. And there's another structure where one is encouraging the other to do what it's supposed to do. And so if you're a person who's manipulative and you feel like you want to live in this moment, you want to live in this, I'm still thinking of a word. I know I told y'all this last year, but there's a word between rumination. It's a phase. It has to be a phase before rumination. Okay. Rumination is when you keep thinking of a thought over and over again. Oh, I had an abusive childhood. My parents left me. They didn't love me. Blah. And you tell this story. I mean, how many stories we hear in the family over and over again that you just be like, I'm over these fucking stories. I've heard the story 50 million times. I know how your parents treated you. I know how your siblings treated you. You know the story. And people live in that though, right? So it's kind of one of those things, okay? You live in that. But there's a phase right before that when you're talking about that.
Yes.
And I don't know what that phase is. I'm going to probably coin the term. I don't know when I'm going to coin the term, but I am going to coin the term. I've been saying that for a little while now. I've been doing some research. But there's a phase before rumination. And it's at that phase where we kind of can catch some of this stuff. And so if you can't catch some of that stuff, then it turns into that rumination phase. Well, then for the rest of your life, you're suffering through whatever the fuck is going on. I was raped. And I'm not making light of that. I was homeless. My parents didn't love me. Oh, instead of finding the solution to why those things happen.
Oh, now, yeah, let me speak on that because that's real.
So that's where that fear and
really
pain,
what it comes down
that's
to.
Where that fear encourages that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That pain encourages that fear, or that fear is aiding that pain, becoming an enabler, because that's where it's in that moment where you're stuck in those moments.
Yeah.
It's not saying that you forget those moments, but forgiveness is really fun. When I say fuck people, y'all know I really mean like forgive people. Like, and forgiveness really is for you. And I know some people don't get why forgiveness is for them. And so they're stuck there. And I think until you understand, until I can be like, fuck this situation, I don't care about it. It's not holding. I mean, we only use 10% of our brains anyway. So if you have something in your past that's holding 3% of your brains, and you got something else in your past holding another 2.5%, another 3%. I mean, by the time it gets to your creativity and your productivity, you've already maximized the part of your brain and that needs to be open.
Yes. And that's why mental health is important.
Oh,
honestly, that is why it's important. And it's just as important as your physical health.
If not more important.
Sure you're not getting, oh, your skin is good and you don't have acne. Why can't you do that and check, hey, man, make sure my brain don't have acne. Make sure my brain don't have a kidney failure. You know? Why we can't put that at the same level?
I was really...
Because Alzheimer's and schizophrenia is a real thing. Is mind deteriorating?
We could talk about schizophrenia all day, can't we? We could talk about schizophrenia, but we won't.
We won't.
Not today. Y'all know I've talked about it before.
But it's real.
But it is a real factor.
It's sad.
And when
we witnessing it firsthand, it's
like, well, I've talked about it on my podcast. I've talked about it on my podcast and say, when you have family members that suffer from these things and you're a therapist and you can't do anything about it, you're the most hopeless person in the world at that moment because you're just like, I know what to do. I know what to tell you, but I can't.
And at the same time, it's too, it's like, it's really no solution.
It's no solution. It's there's treatments.
Yeah, there's always like
there's treatments, but there's no, when we talk, look at this. This is crazy. That was low-key his little Merkmoji. This digital world. Look, I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all not watching the game.
You put me on some digital world. Today,
I'm telling you, digital world's on some the next level. Make sure y'all get some anything in Web 3.0. Y'all know, listen to This Money Shit podcast. Y'all know it's already here. I've released 2 episodes of it. It's gonna be more of a YouTube thing going forward. So, This Money Shit. Make sure y'all listen. Get the crypto advice. I'm gonna be the nigga in crypto that y'all listen to. I'm just telling y'all. I'm gonna be the nigga in NFTs and digital real estate. You be like, yo, this man know what he's talking about. And I'm gonna be a billionaire philanthropist, you know? Billions of dollars are gonna pass through me to help the community. But anyway, when we talk about trauma and generational curses and epigenetics and all of those things, thinking about what you're thinking about, to wrap it up, knowing that mental health is important, knowing that you're going to get all the degrees you're going to get and to move the everything forward, what would you say to the person who wants to get in this field but is an introvert?
It's possible because it goes back. External locus control is a thing, right? Where you have this projection on how reality perceives you, and that's how you think your situations happen. That's why you think circumstances appear in your life. Mm-hmm. I think that's what plays a factor. If you think you being an introvert and you identify with being an introvert so much, it's going to cause you to be stagnant minded to where you're not going to complete that task you want to.
So let me ask you a question. So let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Because you said that, and it just really triggered something in me where I kind of got pissed off, but I was kind of happy.
No, talk about
the people who only talk about signs, and if you're this sign, you act this way.
Oh, no.
Do they too fall in that? Do they fall into that category?
You know what? Yeah. You know what? It's a category, right? We're just talking categories, okay? I'm not talking about the person solely. I'm talking about the collectivistic view that they may fit in.
Yeah. It's like, well, if you're a Virgo, you act this way.
Because
if you're a Libra, you act like this.
When you read these things, you tend to believe it because it's worded so good. Yes, you heard me. It's worded so well to the fact that you're able to put it to your life. When you're able to generalize an issue and a pro to that issue, it can fit to anybody. So when you have in many people that are employed thinking that they're Zodiac readers putting these messages out there to you, you're going to force yourself to believe this narrative that is written on a screen, on a website, or written by somebody you don't even know to tell you about yourself, and you let that dictate your life. Yes, you can fit in that category. But if you're able to read into the Zodiac, take it metaphorically, metaphysically, however you take it, and you're able to apply that to your life while in the process of growth and not stagnation, then you don't fall in that category.
Oh, so if you utilize the tools as tools not as maps, then it's a different thing.
I'm saying being able to balance collectivism and individualism, and you'll be able to achieve growth.
And that's the thing. Because
you do need to be collectivistic. You do need to be in a category. It's okay.
I mean,
but
I talk about this
a
lot.
Individual self.
But Adam named things because Adam needed to name things because things needed names so he can identify what was dangerous
and
what was
and talk to a snake because he needed somebody. He trusted her.
So,
and God knew that if that was his creation. Jesus would know that. If he knows everything,
if he
knew this would happen.
If he is
so,
omniscient, I tell people, if God is the God who you say he is.
Then heaven and hell, it really is just a figment of your imagination. It's whatever you leave this world with. I think you leave this world with the mindset you came in with.
I think you leave this world with the mindset you produce.
You know what? I agree.
Yeah, we have to think about what we think about. I say that often, but we really do. We get to create the life we want to live. We have to understand we deserve the good we desire.
Yep.
If you desire good, you deserve it.
Amen.
If you desire good, you deserve it. I don't know who told you you didn't deserve it. Y'all know we can't leave the show without affirmation. So I don't know who told you you didn't deserve the good that you desire. I don't know who told you you had to be stuck into a generational curse. I don't know who told you that your pain and your fear had to overcome everything. I don't know who told you that your epigenetics could not be changed, because all that's a fucking lie. You can be, do, excel in anything you want to. Anything. This is the honest to God's truth. And so today, just say this with me. I don't have to look like my past. I can become who I want to be. I don't have to look like my past. I can become who I want to be. I don't have to look like my past. I can become who I want to be.
Yep.
Selah. Take that in.
Yeah, take it in. And also be mindful that chemical imbalances is a real thing. Some people are not able to process life like that, you know, and when they're not able to process life like that, it's a little challenge. Because what Friedrich Nietzsche said, as a sociologist, he said people are born with advantages and disadvantages. You had peasants, you had knights. Peasants developed the ideology that they've been great people, and the knights have done them wrong. If they die, there's a fiery place called hell, and they can watch them burn. That's their perception. But at the end of the day, people are born with advantages and disadvantages.
But then,
bro. So you have to keep balance.
Wait, you brought a sociologist in.
I have to bring
my most hated favorite one in.
That's
Peter Berger.
Bring him in.
Who gives us the invitation to sociology.
Come on.
And he debunks everything that Chill Guy said. And it's because people like to create canopies. So they have bad faith, is what Peter Berger will say. And they like to throw everything to the sky so they don't have to deal with their problems. They always got into it though. If you ever look at that's like his arch nemesis.
I like that. That's actually a good way that they perceive it, because I can see both angles.
I see both.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I do see both. Like, yeah, you could be born with, like, you know, easily saying that somebody like, oh yeah, my family's been homeless when I was born. I was in a trash can. Mm-hmm. But then it's like, okay, when you get older, then this is where his view is right, where it's like, okay, what are you going to do different?
What
changes are you going to make in your life?
Are you going to stay in the trash can?
Yeah. And then it's like, and then the reason why I brought up chemical balances is because, you know, sometimes the brain doesn't function as fast as an average human would. And there is a population that fit under that. We got Down syndrome, etc. Anybody that's intellectually disabled, certain things they don't process fast. We have IQ tests that kind of determine that kinetically, you know, virtually, visually, auditory, all that, right? But it's like, you're right, though, because when you take those steps towards change, and this is where his view, what's his name?
Please, Peter Berger.
Peter. When he brought up this view, it does let you know that, okay, but in a process of living life in a journey and years of experience, whether you didn't learn the same shit I learned at 12 when you was 12, you're probably still a couple years back. By the time you get to 12, something's going to process and click and may improve that thought and that functioning. Because, yes.
And hopefully you do it a better way than what we did.
Yeah, come on, that's real. Because why is there homeless people that know how to be successful being homeless? We know where to live. We know how to live. We know where to live.
Because they've always been go-getters.
So there's always a, you know, you don't have, like, a prestige, giving people a title, putting people in a position. I got a mansion, I got this. Sometimes, at the end of the day, it ain't even that.
That don't mean shit.
That individuation comes in, that collectivistic view. What you pertain is your life is what you want to live. Some people could be rich and rather be living in the hood.
Yeah, me.
You know, people that's in the hood want to be rich.
Well, and it's, I like the outskirts of the hood.
Yeah.
Let me just tell y'all.
And when people, I don't like hearing gunshots, they
definitely like the outskirts, right? Be like, yo, the gunshots over there.
For real, for real. People are unaware that at the end of the day, if you're unhappy in either position, it's because you haven't taken care of yourself.
Facts. Y'all know what y'all listening to.
Yay!